Let us join together in singing, Christ is our cornerstone, one line at a time. Christ is our cornerstone, on him alone we build.
Christ is our cornerstone, on him alone we build.
With his true saints alone, the courts of heaven are filled.
With his true saints alone, the courts of heaven are filled.
On his great love,
on his great love,
our hopes we place of present grace and joys above.
Our hopes we place of present grace and joys above.
Then with hymns of praise these hallowed courts shall ring.
Oh, then with hymns of praise these hallowed courts shall ring.
Our voices we will raise, the three in one to sing.
Our voices we will raise, the three in one to sing.
And thus proclaim,
and thus proclaim,
in joyful song, both loud and long, that glorious name.
In joyful song, both loud and long, that glorious name.
Good morning. This is Emily Remple, and on behalf of Zion Mennonite Church, I extend a warm welcome to all who have joined us in our worship service this morning. All are experiencing a variety of emotions throughout the pandemic, trying to make sense in the context of our circumstances. Lisa Oliveira says, "Be gentle with yourself. Have compassion for your process. Give yourself grace. You are good, no matter how you are managing this completely new experience." On this Mother's Day, may we be grateful for our birth mothers and all those who nurture us into our relationship with God. The call to worship invites us. Come, come, all of you. God is inviting each of us to this time of worship. In worship, we sing, we pray, we meditate, we confess, testifying to God's goodness. We are nurtured, strengthened by the Word. In worship, we grow. In faith, we trust. Come and be fed. Taste that the Lord is good. We are God's people. Let us praise God for the wonderful acts of mercy and salvation. Let us pray. Gracious God, you have shown us the wonders of your unfailing love. You lead and guide us. You are our refuge, our fortress in time of anxiety. In you, O Lord, we put our trust. You are our God, and our lives are in your hands. Lord, let the light of your face shine on us as we celebrate together in your presence. Amen.
Yeah. freedom on every shore. Earth, your sacrifice of love. Lord, of all to thee be raised this our hymn of grateful praise.
Your offerings may be dropped off at any time. For e-transfers, the address is zion.pay@sasktel.net. Let us pray. God of love, you abide with us. You provide for all our needs and guide us in your ways. Out of gratitude for your care, we bring our gifts before you. Use them for your work of caring, that all may feast at the table of abundance, walk without fear, and drink deeply from the cup of compassion. Amen.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not let us enter into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours now and forever. Amen.
Verses 1 through 5 and 15 and 16. In you, O Lord, I seek refuge. Do not let me ever be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me. Incline your ear to me. Rescue me speedily. Be a rock of refuge for me, a strong fortress to save me. You are indeed my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net that is hidden for me. For you are my refuge. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. My times are in your hand, and deliver me from the hand of my enemies and persecutors. Let your face shine upon your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. I am reading from Acts chapter 7, starting with verse 54. When they heard these things, they became enraged and ground their teeth at Stephen. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. And then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he died. And Saul approved of their killing him.
I'm Erwin Reimer, and I'm going to be reading from 1 Peter 2, verses 2 through 10. Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. Cry out for this nourishment now that you have had a taste of the Lord's kindness. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone, of God's temple. He was rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priests. Through the mediation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor, and anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him recognize the honor God has given him. But for those who reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy.
Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. For now on you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me. Well, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show me the Father? Do you not believe that I am the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you that the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will be greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If it is my name you ask me for anything, I will do it.
As long as I journey, may I
shore, be a faithful reflection of you. May the earth and the sea and the sky join my song. Lord Jesus, I'll praise you as long as I journey. I fear in the dark and the doubt of my journey, but courage will come with the sound of your steps by my side. And with all of the family you saved by your love, we'll sing to your dawn at the end of our journey.
Good morning and happy Mother's Day. I am sure there are some mothers that are listening, and we want to show our respect and our regards and remember at least some of the things that you have done on our behalf. Not all of us are mothers, but we all have had a mother who tended to us and watched us grow and tried to usher us in the right path, to teach us the right way to go. Some of us did not follow that direction very well, or we chose selectively which parts of that direction we were going to follow. I know that I am not exactly the person my mother would wish that I was, and I say that with love, but I think she would be satisfied with the person that I have become. Mothers cannot make clones or decide who or what their kids are going to be. You simply show them the way. And that's the focus that we're going to have today, on the way. So I hope that mothers find some encouragement this morning. Even though we can't get together, there's lots of different ways that families are showing appreciation to their mothers today. Let's begin with prayer. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our main text today is John chapter 14, and it's a fairly well-known text, and it's the text in which Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as I was studying that and looking at it more and more closely, I was remembering some of the other places that I've been. And people would naturally, as soon as they see you somewhere, rather than say, hi, how are you doing? How's it going? Things like that, which is what we do here. They would say, where are you going? And they wouldn't say it in English necessarily. As soon as I read that, I am the way, then immediately I was thinking, Reicha Fein, which means, where are you going in Arabic? And that was just, you know, I would do it to others too. You see somebody, Reicha Fein, where are you going? Where are you heading? And it was the same in China. Ni Chu Nar. I hope I got those, the rising and the falling tones right. But you know, some of these tones, they just come back to you like it was yesterday, which it wasn't. But it's the same idea. Where are you going? Where are you off to? And when I think about it in our day to day, I was talking about this with someone else who had the same issues. We're shown directions constantly, especially now in places we never had before. And when I'm in the grocery store and I see arrows on the floor that say you have to go this way, not that way, I'm not necessarily prone to following those. I am looking around to see how many people are in the path, and then I'll decide if I'm going to go the other direction. But there are plenty of reminders of which way we're supposed to go. There are arrows, lines, dots, stand here, don't stand there, stand back, all of these things. So many directions. And let's think about that as we hear what Jesus says to his disciples. And combined with that, I want to put two things together, two ideas together in our heads. Because it's spring, now we know that Mother's Day always comes around springtime, and lots of you are itching to get out into your gardens, and some of you already have, I know that, and some are waiting until that Victoria Day long weekend, which is the right time to put the garden in. But gardeners have to have all of the stones out of their garden, and they will get down on their hands and knees, or they will hire their children. I remember doing this with my little red wagon up and down the rows in the big, huge garden, which looks much smaller now, but it was huge then. And you go along the rows and you pick out the stones because they do not belong there. They are not supposed to be in your way. You want smooth soil to plant. And the street cleaners are out, finally. Hooray! Way to go, Swift Current. And they're sweeping up all of those stones that they deposited throughout the winter. Now we want everything bare and clean so that we can travel smoothly. Just the other day, we were driving along very slowly, and pa-ding, there is one stone, and it met the windshield, and it left its mark. We don't like it, we don't want it, and we like to remove those stones. However, today I want us to have a different idea about stones. But first we want to begin with what Jesus says. When Jesus says, I am the way. And in our heads we think, okay, Jesus, we can trust him. He is the way. It's going to be smooth sailing from here on in. Especially when he says, on top of that, it's not just one thing. I am the way and the truth and the life. These are all very good things. So that's why I've called it the triple crown. The triple crown of I am. And throughout the New Testament, well, I should say in the Gospels, Jesus had seven occasions in which he said, I am. And last week we were talking about the gate. I am the gate, and close to that passage, I am the good shepherd. And there are a number of other ones, and none of the others have this triple threat. That's in a good way, sorry. It's not really a threat, but it's, you know, three different aspects that are amazing. That's what the triple threat really is. So let's call it the triple crown. I am the way and the truth and the life. But the context in which Jesus says these things is not as positive as we might be thinking, or the assumptions that we might be making. Because actually, this is a very rough journey. And this is just the time when Jesus is going to be leaving. I'm sorry that I'm speaking from this passage after we have already gone through crucifixion, resurrection, and these should all be exciting hallelujah kind of texts. But I think we need a good dose of realism too. And John 14, Jesus is telling his disciples before he goes anywhere, but he knows that he is going. He's leaving them. This is his farewell to them. But he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. The truth and the life help us to remember and to realize, yes, this is the right way that I'm going when I'm following Jesus. And the goal, the end result of all of this is going to be life. I've got to hang on to those pillars because the way can be very rough. And Jesus said it right from the beginning, and he's preparing them for his own death. And if we compare this with the text in Acts that was read for us, Acts chapter 7 is the end of it. You could start reading in chapter 6 and read all of chapter 7. You know, Stephen was testifying about who Jesus was throughout the history of the Israelites, how God had been working together with his people all of these years. Through all of these events, God was faithful, showing them, guiding them. And then Stephen said, and this Jesus is God. And they were gnashing their teeth. They were grinding their teeth. Good thing the dentists are open now. If anyone is ready to grind their teeth, they can go to the dentist. They will fit you for a nice mouth guard and you won't need to grind your teeth anymore. But it just, they were so vexed at what Stephen was telling them. And they stopped their ears. They could not stand it. And I think it's pretty funny that if you go back, not at the end of Stephen's testimony, but the first part of it, he's telling them these things, and before he starts his testimony, the false testimony about him was that he had come to change their customs. Oh, he's going to change our customs. That was the lie that they were telling about him that they wanted him to be prosecuted for. But anyway, the point at which we meet him here in this text, he's giving a faithful testimony. They couldn't stand it. They were vexed. And they stoned him. And he looked up into heaven. He released his spirit to God because he had seen a vision of heaven and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Heaven was opened to him. But the way to heaven was full of difficulty. He followed exactly the steps that Jesus went. And in fact, in the passage in John chapter 14, if we go back to John chapter 13, that's where Peter is saying, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. And that's exactly what is expected of us, ready to lay down our lives, to give them up. I am the way and the truth and the life is a statement that Jesus brings to them when he knows that they are going to be facing trouble. And he says to them, don't let your hearts be troubled. But this is exactly when we do need to hear the reminder, I am the way and the truth and the life. Don't let your hearts be troubled. What are you facing now? What is the thing that gives you no peace? Jesus reassures you, I'm the truth. There's lots of other voices that will tell us differently. Why do you believe that anymore? Who are you trusting? Where is God? Where is justice? All of these different questions. And the problem also is that it's not an obvious way. Verses 8 and 9, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, we'll be satisfied. And then Jesus says, I've been with you all this time and you still don't know me? You still don't know me. It's not obvious. So we need the reassurance. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. But it does cause stumbling, as we see in 1 Peter chapter 2. Because Jesus is the rock, the cornerstone that causes people to stumble. You know, it's all good. Be loving, be kind, be good to your neighbors. Those are all things that we can all agree on in society. But if you get to the point of, what do you say about Jesus? That can be a serious stumbling block. But it's the cornerstone. It's the stone that God chose to be the foundation of everything. Another interesting reference you might want to look up is Jeremiah chapter 42 and 43. Fascinating story. And the prophet there is telling these people, they asked him to pray for them, to pray to God so that they would know what's the way we're supposed to go. We're in a bind here. We don't know what to do. And Jeremiah came back and he told them, okay, this is what God said. And they said, no, that can't be true. That can't be the way. It didn't make sense. They didn't think he was telling them the truth. It was too hard for them. And God said to them, I have chosen King Nebuchadnezzar, my servant, and this is the way you are supposed to follow. This is the way you are supposed to live in this time. This is my plan. They couldn't believe it. They didn't want it. And they suffered because of it. So when Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and this leads to life. I am the life. When times are hard and we're stumbling, let's cling to the rock and not stumble on it. Turn with me together to 1 Peter chapter 2. Because we know what Jesus is. And because of what Jesus is, now there is a statement that says, what we are. Did you ever do that as kids? Someone says something, you are blah, blah, blah. And the retort is, I know you are, but what am I? And this is usually in a negative context. But I would like to use it in a positive context today. Because Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. But what about us? Who am I? Where do I stand? What position do I have? And 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 to 10, which were read for you, kind of describes that for us and helps us to see, okay, this is who we are. And the interesting thing in this passage is that it equates this is who Jesus is, and so are we. Jesus, the way that we follow, as followers of Jesus, this is what we can claim for ourselves. We are the crowned stones. I wanted to use a similar, you know, the triple crown, and now the crowned stones, referring to obtaining the crown of life. Following the way leads us to life, real life, as in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, or James chapter 1, verse 12. But here in 1 Peter chapter 2, he is a living stone. Verse 4, come to him, a living stone. A living stone. And then look at the beginning of verse 5. Like living stones, let yourselves be built. So there we have the parallel lines. We too, we are living stones. He is the living stone. And then the invitation is to us. Allow yourselves, let yourselves also be built into what God is building, be built into a spiritual house. So here's the description. This is who we are, living stones, chosen, verse 9, precious in his sight, and a spiritual building. Those are the descriptions of who we are. If you had asked my mother, who is your daughter? Not as in name, but, you know, describe what she is like. I don't know if she would have chosen any of those things, any of those words. Maybe spiritual. I hope so. And sometimes I think, what would I like written on my gravestone, on my headstone? What would people describe me as? What's, you know, that key element? I wonder. But here, we are told this is how you are seen in God's sight. You are living stones, chosen, precious, and spiritual. So in this position, we are also not ashamed. Like, Rocks just sit there, right? Stones sit there. This wind, it's picking up everything you could possibly imagine. Dust is flying around, but stones are not flying around. And neither do we. Psalm 31 reminds us. Isaiah 8, Isaiah 50, verse 7. I love that verse. I have set my face like flint. I have decided this is the way I am going. This is the life I've chosen. This is who I am. By God's description, not my own. They always say, let others say who you are and not you yourself. And in this going of this way, we are not ashamed and we are not put to shame. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. We have nothing to be ashamed of. And we have purpose. The three things that society needs, or people in this society at this time are longing for, looking for, are meaning, purpose, and belonging. And where do we go to find those things? Sometimes we go in erroneous ways to find those things. Those are driving us and driving maybe our neighbors. Meaning, purpose, and belonging is what everyone desires and needs. And right here, God assures us, you have a purpose, a life-giving purpose. Because we are living stones, and our purpose, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of Him who called you, proclaiming God's acts, that is our eternal purpose. To give praise to God, to give voice to what God is doing. We have a purpose in this world. And we are repositioned quite well. We're not cast aside. We're not thrown out of the way like stones often are. No, we are precious and chosen. And God called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're called out of darkness into light. Light and life. That's who we are. As we are in the way. Jesus didn't say, I know the way. Jesus didn't say, I'll show you the way. Jesus Himself is the way. He is the way. That takes some meditating. Some openness of mind to realize, what does that actually mean? But that invitation to draw closer to Him, to then enable us to recognize who we are, what our position is in this world, and our purpose in life as we follow Him to the Father. Please turn with me to 2 Thessalonians for the benediction. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 5. May the Lord direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. Amen.
Our sending song comes out of Sing the Story, number 57. I will read the poem, and then Marion will play through it. Go, my friends, in grace, beneath the blessed sky. Where you go, God is there, beneath the blessed sky. Walk, my friends, in peace, within this fallen world. Where you walk, God is there within this fallen world. Serve, my friends, in love, your neighbors and your foes. Where you serve, God is there, in neighbors and in foes. Come again, my friends, to worship and to pray. When we meet, God is here. Benedictus Deus. Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P. All rights are reserved.